Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Is your soul ready for the truth? Welcome to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic. No spiritual or relationship issue is off limits. We discuss everything from sex and consent to equality, grief, death, and the spirit world. On Be a Slayer, we will unmask all the taboos. So if you're ready to get right with yourself so you can be right with others, then stay right here, because the Be a Slayer podcast is for you. Now, here's your host, spiritual empath, shaman, and multiple award-winning best-selling author, Tracy Dunblazer.
Good afternoon. This is Tracy Dunblazer, and I'm excited to have you here with me on the Be a Slayer radio show. This is the spiritual radio show taking on all the hard topics. For those of you just getting to know me, I'm a spiritual empath, shaman, and multi-award-winning author on spiritual topics, relationships, and grief. Now, my most recent books are Transformative Grief, An Ancient Ritual of Healing for Modern Times, and Your Crystal Ally is the 12 Best Crystals for Healing Trauma and Navigating Change. Now, I mention those books because our topic today that we are tackling is navigating the tough questions around suicide. Yes, suicide is the topic that nobody wants to talk about, but we need to talk about it. We need to get comfortable with it. Sometimes people withhold having a frank conversation because if they've experienced suicidal ideation themselves, or they have, they know somebody who has died by suicide, it sparks really intense emotions of anger, frustration, deep-seated sorrow, grief, powerlessness, right? These are all emotions that nobody wants to feel, but the more we talk about and the more we understand, not only suicide and what the desire to die is, but to understand death. What is death? What does that mean? What does it mean to die? What does it mean when we think about death all the time? You know, are you suicidal if you think about death all the time? Right? Does that make you a suicidal person? So we're gonna tackle some of these questions today. And by all means, if anybody listening right now, you can call me at 1-800-555-5453 with any of your questions or stories or anything of interest that relates to our topic today. So the purpose of our discussion here on the shows, they're not necessarily to get the listener to move the needle on their own belief, but rather an opportunity to offer an opportunity for all listeners to get a better understanding of the kaleidoscope of experiences that these different topics trigger. And the goal is to learn how to talk about them, process the emotions that they bring to the surface, and find ways of finding common ground with other people. So having said that all, you'll see I have a lot of strong opinions and strong feelings myself, especially on this topic, as I'm sure all of you listening do as well. So part of what I try to do here on the show is to speak about all of our topics with respect and inclusivity, even if I don't agree with the beliefs of others, even if I know there are people out there who are not going to agree with me. My goal is to expand how you think on these topics. We all at some point need to process and work through our emotions in order to have a sustainable quality of life. So, again, get a pen and paper and write down 1-800-555-5453 in case you have a question about something that we're going to talk about today. So, first of all, talk talking about suicide can be unnerving. So we're going to start with a few statistics, compliments of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Did you know that suicide is the 11th leading cause of death in the United States? Now, most of these statistics are from 2021. I couldn't find anything for 22 or 23. But in 2021, 48,183 Americans died by suicide. In 2021, there were an estimated 1.7 million suicide attempts. In 2021, men died by suicide almost four times more than women. On average, there were 132 suicides per day. White males accounted for almost 70% of suicide deaths in 2021. And almost 55% of all suicide deaths are caused, firearms are accounted for those deaths. Wow. Right? That's a lot. That is a lot going on there. In 2021, the suicide rates were higher among adults ages 25 to 34. Funny, they give you 1948 or 19 and a half people per 100,000. So, statistics are always fun. So, 20 people out of every 100,000 are going to die by suicide. One of the highest groups, or the highest group, age group of people who died by suicide are 85 and older. And then the second highest group is 75 to 84 year olds. So, there's been a trend lately over the last several years where younger groups have had consistently lower suicide rates than middle-aged and older adults. And in 2021, adolescents and young adults had, age 15 to 24 had a suicide rate of 15 out of that 100,000. So, just want you to know, and I'll be, throwing this out there throughout, but if you or someone you know is in crisis right now, call or text 988 or text TALK to 741-741. Okay, if you need help, you can receive it from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So now that we've talked a few of the statistics around suicide, we want to talk about the why of it. When people focus on death, when they think about death, it's usually as a response to an overwhelming sense of pain that they're experiencing. And that pain can be experienced, it can be spiritual, it can be mental, emotional, sometimes even physical. When somebody experiences enormous pain, it's going to occur on all of those other levels as well. And in fact, as a spiritualist, I relate to pain on mental, emotional, and spiritual levels. I have a really high tolerance for physical pain because in my experience, physical pain is ultimately emotional pain. If you're an athlete, if you, have a tolerance for pain or you work out or you really test your body and its capacity to, go to the next level, you have to relate to that pain in the physical body with your mind, with your heart, with your energy. So no matter how you slice it, your pain we ultimately relate to our pain on a mental and emotional place. Like how we think about our pain, how we relate to it, what we think about ourselves if we are in pain, what we think that means about means about us. There are a lot of different elements to the why and that experience of suicidal ideation. So the first thing I really want to bring into the conversation before we really dig into this is talking about the terminology of suicide. How we speak about suicide is important because we need to learn to take the idea of blame and choice out of how we relate to someone who's expressing suicidal thoughts and behaviors. Okay? When somebody's having these experiences of thinking about death, desiring death, wanting the pain to go away, oftentimes when somebody actually takes the action, they move into the actions of suicide, and if that suicide is completed, which means they die by suicide, we're now beginning to understand or to relate to what that means as a mental illness. So we, you know, over the last few years, they have been looking for ways to bring it into the DSM-4 or the DSM-5 or probably the DSM-6 today, which is the handbook that defines all of our mental health maladies and diagnoses. So today we have considered that suicidal ideation is currently considered a nursing diagnosis. And a nursing diagnosis in mental health is a clinical judgment concerning a human response to health conditions / life processes or a vulnerability to that response by an individual, family, group, or community. Nursing diagnoses are customized to each patient and drive the development of the nursing care plan. So, a nursing diagnosis classification comes from the 2015-2017, and it defines risk for suicide as a vulnerability to self-inflicted injury that could be life-threatening. Risk factors include behavioral, demographic, physical, psychological, situational, social, and verbal stimuli. There's also another term that is used a lot in the wellness community. It's called neurodivergent. You might have heard somebody use that. And it describes a person or people whose brain differences affect how their brain works. And that means that they have different strengths and challenges from people whose brains don't have those differences. Right? It's really we're trying to pull ourselves away from this idea that if you have mental illness, that you are sick, that you are weak, right? We're trying to pull ourselves out of the illusion of you know, using terms like crazy, right, or even insane. We're trying to start looking at everybody as neurodivergent, right, which recognizes that, hey, if your brain is different, if you think differently, then that's something for you to learn to manage in a way that strengthens you, right? It gives every person the right and the sense of that sense of ownership, but it also takes it out of this illusion of blame for someone who has these differences in the way they think, in the way their brain works, your brain, how you feel, your emotions, the chemicals that connect your spirit to your body, all of those things. Every individual is unique, and how we are nurtured in life help us manage those things and trains us to think or relate to different stimuli in our life in a unique way. So as it relates to suicide, these are the things that you first want to begin to think about as you start to open your mind and your heart to this concept of dying by choice or not by choice, if that's the case. So suicidal ideation and suicidal behaviors to express someone's experience of focusing on their desire to die or creating a plan to do so. Those are those two terms. And then we have, if somebody completes a suicide, refer to that as having died by suicide instead of committing suicide. Right? Because again, the idea of committing suicide, it implies blame, as if that person in those moments had choice. And that's something that we're, you know, every individual is different, and how a person, the people that are left behind if someone dies by suicide, that's a whole other range of emotions and experiences to have, and most certainly those people are entitled to every feeling that they have. And oftentimes there are feelings of rage, anger, frustration, powerlessness. And people get resentful, they use a lot of words of blame for the person who's died by suicide. But regardless of how you feel, it's important that you can have those feelings, but it's important that you understand and begin to open your heart to having more compassion, not only for the people left behind, but the people who are victimized by this sometimes very clear brain experience. So, I wanted to start there. One of the questions that I get asked a lot is why people take their own lives. And this, of course, there's no satisfying answer to that question. There just is no satisfying answer to that question. But I've had experience myself. In my book, I did a lot of research and worked with quite a few people. I worked with quite a few people who have survived attempting to take their own life, and then the people who are left behind in stories. And my friend Pearl, her husband has complex PTSD. And it started very, very early on in his childhood. And she wrote out a bit of his story, which I'm going to read to you so you can have a deeper understanding of what it means when somebody has suicidal ideation and when their brain feel and experience so much mental pain that the only way they could possibly conceive to change that for themselves is to take their own life. So Pearl's husband's story. It all began in his childhood, going forward all the way up to his 40th birthday. They had met 24 years ago, and his diagnosis didn't come out until 2007. He was abused as a child, as a teen, as an adult, and then in addition to that, he had a few motorbike accidents where the last one being in 2006 and followed by a near miss in the same place a few years later where there may have been some traumatic brain injury. He has only made three or four really serious suicidal ideations, and the last one was about 4 years ago, and it was the worst of them all. And she was there with him at the time. She said that she was able to distract him while she phoned for help, asking the emergency services to come in quietly and left the door open for them. They did as she asked and just came in casually and made no fuss. She said one of them knelt down to be at eye level with him instead of towering over him when I asked if he would. She said we had no idea what had actually triggered him that night into spiraling down emotionally into this sense of wanting to die. She said it just happened out of the blue. Evidently, he was trying to cut himself with a knife, and she was able to, once she got him calmed down and sitting, she was able to take the knife and throw it outside and lock the door as he was changing his clothes. But she did all of that so that she could call emergency for help and then get him to sit there with her and talk about what he was experiencing. And that's a really important aspect of somebody who is in crisis, is not telling them what they should do, not making yourself and your emotions about the experience the biggest focus, but giving the person the opportunity to just say whatever it is that's on their mind and not judge them for it. And isn't that the kicker right there? Right? How many of the, with a show of hands, how many of you out there are able to just listen to somebody and how they feel, no matter what those feelings are, though maybe those feelings are about you, or maybe they're about other things, or maybe they're about things that you disagree with, but to just listen to somebody and give them the opportunity to say what's on their mind without judgment or reprisal, right? Not responding back, not thinking about what you need to say in response to diminishing what they're saying. Right, I'm going to leave you with that thought right now about non-judgment, really listening to what somebody has to say. And stay with us. We're going to be talking about more about the desire for suicide when we come back here on Be a Slayer.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history. Own your power and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
The home for high-quality video is Vimeo. People who love videos love Vimeo. It's the community for indie filmmakers, popular entertainers, music videos. Even the White House posts high-def versions of its broadcasts on Vimeo. You can even upload and share your videos. So much to see, so little time. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Vimeo and get started seeing and sharing great entertainment now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Be a Slayer, again with Tracy Dunblazer. That's me. And we are talking about suicide. And we were just talking about trivializing other people's trauma. So in my book, Transformative Grief, An Ancient Ritual of Healing for Modern Times, I talk about when people speak of the lessons learned in life, there seems to be a glossy, positive haze that feels feigned, which frankly is quite irritating when you're confronting a powerful, life-altering event. In our culture, people are accustomed to being repulsed by the cold, hard truth. They would rather hear you say, "I'm fine," in response to their salutation, "Hey, how are you?" than to be saddled into an uncomfortable conversation of reality. Unfortunately, this is why those who experience traumatic injury or illness would prefer to stay silent until they are certain that the person or people to whom they reveal their pain completely understand. They cannot or do not want to help others process the shock and suffering they are experiencing from their own condition. And as a witness, it is important not to trivialize the experience of someone in crisis because we are unable or unwilling to grasp their depth of suffering. It is best to be present and listen, or to be honest that you are unable to do either, than to diminish another's experience because it is uncomfortable. Using euphemisms about their reality or positive platitudes about their recovery, such as "lesson learned," it's not helpful or supportive. It only further isolates the one who is having to relearn their entire life or to grieve a life that they've left behind. So, I don't know what you all think about that, but learning to be honest in times of crisis is deeply valuable. When somebody is in a crisis, you have to learn how to think about what you're going to do to get help, or what you're capable of and what you're not capable of, right? And you need to take time. Like right now, we're having this discourse, right? You're sitting here, you're listening to this. So take a minute to think about what you might do if someone came to you and said, "Hey, I'm thinking about taking my own life." Or maybe they don't say anything. Maybe they just shut down and isolate themselves, right? That's something that somebody in crisis naturally wants to pull back from their environment, from their coworkers, maybe even quitting their job, maybe they don't have a job, whatever the situation is, they tend to want to pull back and isolate themselves. So what do you do when you recognize this behavior? Right? Take time now to think about what you can do. What are your options? You've got to know what you're capable of first. If somebody comes to you and says, "I need your help," know the kind of help that you can give them and be honest with yourself and them about the help that you're not prepared to give. Right? Not everybody has to be good at everything. So if you can sit and listen to them and hear what's on their mind in truth, or if it's uncomfortable, you can help them find someone whom they can talk to. Right? One of the things, finding somebody, a hotline to call, right? Or being the one to pick up the phone when they call, right? How many of you have ever said to somebody, "Call me anytime, day or night, whatever you need," and then that person might have called you in the middle of the night and you didn't pick up? To me, that is... That's the worst. I no longer say that. I never ever say, "Call me anytime." Because don't call me. Definitely don't call me after 5. Right? But by all means, spirit always wakes me up. If somebody needs me, I'm awakened to hopefully being at the ready, or I know that spirit will awaken somebody else to be at the ready for someone who needs them. I truly believe that. But know what you're capable of. Know what you need and know what you have to offer so that when somebody is in crisis, you're prepared to help them. One of the things my friend Pearl really wanted people to know about suicide is that when somebody has suicidal ideation or behavior, it's very rarely, it has nothing to do with anyone else but them. It's not being selfish. It's about them and where they are at in their life and the fact that they can see no way forward. Whether it be physical or mental pain, at that exact point in time, nothing that you say to them in their minds will change how they are feeling. So, do not throw a guilt trip or try to blame them for their condition. When you make yourself the victim, you're doing it out of your own discomfort and it's not helpful. She wants you to know that none of this stuff that's going on with them is about you and everything about them. And that brings us to a whole, you know, there are a lot of people out there who threaten suicide but never do it. That's something that a narcissist or a sociopath, that's a technique that often is used by a narcissistic personality disorder. They will try to up the ante to claim control over whatever situation or relationship they're in. And sometimes that includes threatening suicide. And truly, if you're dealing with a narcissist or a psychopath or a sociopath, they're never going to kill themselves. They're going to threaten it. They're going to get you to do whatever it is that they want you to do through threatening it or make those efforts. But narcissists are too self-involved to ever want to release control in that way. So that's something that's important to know. When we come back, we're going to be talking about dealing with the aftermath of suicide, understanding what it means spiritually when someone has died by suicide, and what the difference between medical suicide or assisted suicide and other suicides. So stay with us. Come back. I want you to be part of this next important conversation here on Be a Slayer.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you honor the very core of what drives you showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, welcome back to Be a Slayer. We are talking about suicide. We were talking about, you know, what happens to someone who dies by suicide, and spiritually speaking, like what does that mean? What happens? Now, spiritually speaking, when somebody dies in a place of trauma, their spirit often doesn't ascend to their oversoul, where they reconnect with themselves. They stay what the Catholics may call purgatory, but they may stay as a discarnate, like just outside of the body, or in other dimensions that are closer to what we would consider this physical reality, right? And when they're in trauma, see, a lot of people who, and I've worked with a lot of people who have, in fact, died by suicide, and I've worked with their spirit after the fact. And 95% of the time, they didn't mean to. They were mad. They were frustrated, they were in pain, and they took an action. And when their spirit left their body, they were like, oh man, this is not what I thought, this is not how I thought it would be. Right? Because when your spirit leaves your body, you don't necessarily feel less pain. You take that pain with you. Your pain follows you wherever you go until you're able to understand it and process it, which means go through that grief process to transform it into another vibration of energy. So someone who has died by suicide, they're going to cross over, and they won't have their body, their cumbersome body. They may not have the physical pain that they may have been in, but they will carry that emotional or spiritual pain with them, or mental pain, in a way so that they can still find a way to work through it. And that's really important to know, is that when somebody dies by suicide, they're not really in a completely different situation. They are in a position maybe a little more free to be able to, at a pace that suits them and with a lot of spiritual support, because anytime, well, we all have guides, but sometimes when you're in a body and you're in pain, you're not really aware of the kind of support you have spiritually from the spirit side. So a new worlds open up to somebody who dies by suicide, but it's not necessarily a better situation. And oftentimes, once a person gets, I mean, in all the experiences that I've had in speaking with spirits on the other side who've died by suicide, they really didn't mean it. It's not what they wanted. And if they had it to do all over again, they wouldn't follow through in that way. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So one of the things that I really want to address here, which I think is powerful, somebody brought to my attention, today as we're talking about this is, you know, what do you do when you are somebody who's left behind, somebody you know has died by suicide, and maybe they left a note, or maybe somehow they have blamed you in the process, or maybe, you know, there's a situation at which the implication is left that, you know, you're to blame, or that you should have some guilt about this person and the condition they were in and the situation that they found themselves to be in. And it's really important not to take that responsibility for another person. You know, let's say somebody, you know, they're reaching out and they're in their final moments, they really want help, and they call you and you don't pick up. That's not your fault. You know, I feel like people have, we all have a job. And if somebody calls and I pick up, then it was my job. And if they called and I didn't pick up, it wasn't my job, it was somebody else's job. Right? But it's really important that you recognize that whether or not the person was in their right mind, whether or not they were thinking clearly or not, they were living in the what we call it a suicide trance, right? Which is they are just so caught up in the devastating experience of their pain or their anger or frustration, whatever they're experiencing, they're just so caught up in it that they go with the vibe of where that leads them. And if they complete their suicide, there's nothing you could have done to change that. So this goes right along when we were talking about, you know, people who are narcissistic or sociopathic. Oftentimes I've known quite a few people who've threatened suicide because they wanted me or somebody else to change an action. Right? I broke up with a boyfriend one time and he called me for 3 or 4 days and said he was going to kill himself. And I'm like, you know what? I can send you to a crisis center. I can call the police and send them to you, but I can't help you. Right? That's what I can do for you. And this is what I can't do for you. Right? And sometimes that's the hardest thing. And when people around us in this profound chasm of pain, it makes us reflect on our own sense of willpower and our own sense of conviction and choice in life. Right? So another interesting aspect to this, while we're talking on this topic, is, you know, what do you do with a bully? Right? I know there have been a lot of stories over the last decade, young people online, and, you know, some of their classmates bully them online or say, hey, you know, you're not valuable, you're worthless, you know, kill yourself. Right? What do you do with that? What do you do if you see that happening? Right? You have to stand up for that. Anybody who is going to tell you to kill yourself, even the voices in your head, that's another element that we're going to address a little more fully in the final segment, is there are entities out there, there are demons and other entities who their only purpose is to create chaos. And oftentimes when we are in that suicidal trance, right, if you're in that space where there doesn't seem any reason not to, that's a place where you are open to a level of density that resonates with those entities that will continue to get you to focus on hurting yourself or creating chaos in your life, sometimes suicidal, sometimes homicidal. Right? But no matter who is telling you, whether it feels like the voices in your head or it feels like people or it's people outside of you, you know, if you hear that, you have to say no. And then you have to get help. You've got to put yourself in a position to A, tell people to stop, including the voices in your head, and walk away. Walk away from that. Right? So what do you, and you know, what do you do if you see somebody bullying somebody in that way? Right? The only thing that you can really do is to tell them to stop. So we've got, I think, a few more seconds here before we move into our next commercial break, but we are going to be talking about what you do if you're in crisis. How can you help other people? And how can you help yourself? And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story as we move into the next segment. So stay with us here on Be a Slayer.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master Your Inner World, Embrace Your Power with Joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hi, welcome back to Be a Slayer. We are talking about suicide, navigating the tough questions around suicide. And, you know, before I was talking about, I have a short this lifetime story about suicide. Many years ago, I came into this lifetime, I felt it spiritually, I had a deeper understanding of suicide because I believe I had died by suicide, multiple times in other lifetimes. And I was beginning to have that past life recall. And there was a whole process to, you know, I understood what it was to be in a suicidal trance. I understood what it was to, you know, die and leave my body behind and still be left with all of my pain. But what was interesting is I had always come into this lifetime, this life experience, and I've always said, you know, I would never do that. That doesn't make any sense at all, because I think that we all look for, when it comes to suicide, people who don't have those suicidal ideation experiences, we want to try to rationalize it for other people. We want to give them our rationale when you can't give that to somebody. Only their own life experiences can help them awaken to a sense of empowerment to pull themselves out of the way that they're thinking. And for 2 weeks in my life, I woke up one night and I was feeling so deeply apathetic. The interesting thing for me is that I was feeling apathy. I wasn't feeling pain. And in fact, it was the first time in decades that I was feeling no pain. But I was feeling this dense sense of apathy that I'd never experienced before. And that's when the voices started coming. And every night the voices would come and they would say, you know, why not just kill yourself? There's no reason to stay. Why not? Why not do that? You know, it's really, there's no reason for you to be here. There's nothing left. And the thing that frightened me, and again, I didn't feel frightened, but my mind was like, wait a second. Pay attention to this, because that's not right. That's not true, and it's not right. And that's when, you know, after the first day of getting myself through the night, by chanting, I chanted Christ's name. That's how I got out of that, is I just chanted Christ, Christ, Christ. I called on the Christ for myself, and that's what helped me to move out of that dreariness, that dreary apathy. But interestingly enough, I knew when I woke up the next day that I had to find somebody to babysit me. I needed to make sure that there was never going to be a time that I was alone until I could figure out who or what these voices were and address them and take my power back from it. And it took me about 2 weeks to do that. And in that period of time, luckily I had friends who, you know, I literally just, you know, would sit on their couch or run their errands with them, or, you know, just be around other people. I went from person to person to person to make sure that I spent not a minute alone during that time while I was having those feelings. And that was really, really important. So what do you do if you're caught in a crisis or somebody you know is in a crisis? Because at the end of the day, it's going to be you and what you do. There aren't always going to be a people around to help. And the people that you love won't always have you around to help. So for me, it was about prayer and whomever you pray to. And I don't say rashly, you know, whoever you pray to, because there are entities out there who will say, yeah, pray to me, girl, come on over. Right? You want to choose Archangel Michael or Kuan Yin, or, you know, choose an energy that you have an affinity for that will raise you up. Right? That's the most important, is connecting with that higher aspect of yourself to raise you up, and not necessarily out, because we don't necessarily go out of that, but we move through that sense of darkness. So no matter how you slice it, you've got to call on help for yourself and give yourself permission to trust yourself. Trust a friend, you know, tell somebody what you need from them, right? If you are a person who, you know, you're akin to suicidal ideation or behaviors, or you think about it a lot, or you think about dying a lot, right? It's about our relationship with death, and death doesn't always change our circumstances. It might change our circumstances, but it doesn't necessarily change our feelings, and that's oftentimes what we're running from. So you've got to find a way in this body at this time to reclaim your power. And you can do that. Only you can do that. You can ask people for help. You can ask them to listen to you or just to be In companionship with you, you can call, like I mentioned before, you can call or text. You can text 988 or talk to 741-741 if you're in a crisis. But the most important thing is that you've got to get to the core of why you're in pain in the first place. And sometimes that pain is spiritual and it exists from, you know, maybe centuries before, right? Or it could be a fear of a reoccurring traumatic event. But at some point you're going to have to give yourself permission to grieve those heartbreaks, to grieve those traumas, and to access the spiritual help that is there for you, right? Sometimes we just have to say, hey, you know what, Spirit, I need help. I need to get at what is causing me this enormous mental, emotional, or physical pain. And how can I move through this, right? Whether somebody dies or they don't die, they are going to do this work, right? They'll do it in this life or they'll do it in the next. So, I'm all, you know, when we talk about assisted dying, assisted suicide, you know, is that better? Well, you know, I think that sometimes when we make a conscious choice to do something, sometimes that can help us transcend into our next life, but it doesn't necessarily change things. And sometimes we don't know that until, you know, the body drops and our spirit is free, in order to understand that. So, I hold everyone out there in crisis right now in the light of finding a way through their pain, opening their heart, and giving themselves just a little more compassion to get you through the next minute, the next hour, and the next day. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. Thank you so much for staying with me on this journey around the tough questions around suicide. And we will see you next month on Be a Slayer.
You've been listening to Be a Slayer, the award-winning spiritual podcast with your host, Tracy Dunblazer. Join us next time as we continue unmasking the taboo through more in-depth conversations about life and relationships. Thanks for listening.